Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. This is The Bubble. He's Mike Bonner. I am Montana Samuels. And after a brief couple of week hiatus, our beautiful voices are gracing your earphones again.
It's so crazy what can happen in 3 weeks now. Because I think it's been 3 weeks. I think we had the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Yep.
Just that took up,
I mean, a good chunk of the news.
That alone would be like it for anything. But then you have this New York Times story regarding Donald Trump's taxes. Jumping into the reality, not the reality, I almost said the reality, the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne drops an album. I think we
missed a big one was Mac Miller.
Miller dying.
R.I.P.
I don't even know if we were here, if we were recording for Eminem's album. I don't remember.
Who?
I just can't even right now.
We won't have any talk of that on this podcast.
It was just a fact of statement that he dropped an album. That's all I was saying. You don't have to say whether it was good. You don't have to say whether it was bad.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Drake and
Pusha T.
Pusha T's beef. We have Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem's beef.
Oh my God.
I'm just stating things that happened. You can't deny they didn't happen.
No, they happened.
Are you also saying the world? Kyrie Irving said the world is round.
That's big news.
That's what we missed.
Boston sports fans rejoice. Your shining star is no longer a bumbling idiot when it comes to science.
Rejoicing for that. I think, as he pointed out, maybe science teachers are rejoicing. I think he said that. Sorry to the science teachers.
I'm a massive troll.
10 and 11 year olds being like, well, Kyrie says that it's flat.
Just
like,
he sells cool Nikes.
He went to Duke.
Yeah, I know. He attended the university for 1 year, and he was on the back.
But you still have to get in. Like, I understand what you're saying.
On.
No, there are a few schools where it is. You do at least have to still get in. Like Stanford, you just can't show up and, hey, I'm here to play. Like, you do have to get in. Now, I will grant you that it is easier to get in as a student athlete than as you and I, but you still have to get in.
Sure. Sure.
He's just on his own little world today. defying
the facts. The idea that you have to be as smart as the general majority of Duke University students to be on the basketball team is a little bit laughable.
I didn't say that. I said, what did I say? I said it's easier to get in than the normal public.
I mean,
but you still have to get in.
The man exclaimed multiple times that the world was flat. I think they drop the criteria a little bit if you can dribble a ball.
It's not the question to get into Duke. You have to get he can't show up with a 1.0 GPA and the ACT and zero. That's what I'm
saying.
You
can't get into any college like that though.
That's what I'm saying.
We've completely lost track of where we're going. Shout out to Kyrie Irving. Come on the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Not
anymore.
Not yet. Not yet.
Just trashing his alma mater like that.
Part of the brotherhood of Duke basketball, Kyrie Irving. We're not. Come on. This isn't a Duke pod.
He didn't even play it, Duke.
He played two games.
Yeah, that was broke.
Whatever. Kyrie, come on the pod.
Explain it.
Yeah, come talk
Dad
to us.
Dad played at BU, I think. All-time leading scorer.
Boston University?
Yeah.
The New England connection. We haven't talked about my guy, Patrick Mahomes, while we're on the sports tip.
Who?
Patrick Mahomes, the NFL record. I don't know. The records are kind of weird. I'm not going to make that exclamation. But future MVP, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. He's the odds-on favorite to win MVP this year through 4 weeks. 4-1 odds.
You come on the podcast after we've been gone for 3 weeks, and you don't acknowledge that Eminem's a real person.
Who?
Then on top of that, you double down. This may be the last. I'm glad the people came back to the podcast. This may be the last one.
Might be the last one.
Then you usher in a phrase, introduce a phrase, odds on MVP through the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, man. Sports. While I've been gone, I've been listening to a lot of sports podcasts.
Do you know my favorite thing for the first 4 weeks of the season?
Have you watched a game?
I have. I've watched a number. It has nothing to do with the games, though.
My
favorite thing, and this is going to probably get me a little hot water, but I'm going to go with it anyways.
Uh-huh.
I saw on Instagram a number of people after the Patriots went 1-2, gasp.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Hashtag stay loyal. They're 1-2. They were favorites against the 3-0 Dolphins, and people are stay loyal. Don't
and
turn
they
in the team.
Beat the brakes off of them.
Was anyone not like this is what they do?
The plight of the New England Patriots fans. You go from being the worst team in the NFL to a best, and you forgot where you come from. So now a 1-2 start. Unbelievable.
Stay loyal. Hashtag. That's going to be my new thing when you say free Lil Pump.
No, Lil Pump's another thing we didn't talk about. Lil Pump performed on SNL with Kanye West last weekend.
Hashtag stay loyal. That's my new thing.
Did you see it?
I didn't. So
you saw the music video for that song that I literally
can't
say
breaks anymore.
No.
This is what happens.
Whatever. News didn't happen the last 3 weeks that we were gone. Just forget about everything we talked about.
We do have a topic in our minds, but
it's probably like the least newsy topic we've talked about.
But I did. The only thing I saw of that was the Chris Rock video of Kanye West then talking about Donald
Ranting.
Trump.
Yeah, yes. So that was the same. Lil Pump left the stage during that rant, I believe.
Went to the ranch after the rant.
Yeah. Don't start. Oh, God. Don't start rapping, Mike.
I wasn't rapping. I was just having a tongue twister.
I saw the wheels.
No, what I was thinking in my head was, didn't Kanye record his album at a ranch in Wyoming?
So he did. That was where the release. No, it was like one of those Jackson Hole resorts, but that's where they had the album listening party.
Yeah,
that ranch said they would not allow any rappers to rent their venue anymore after that listening party.
And that's why when you said he went to the ranch, that's what I was thinking.
Lil Pump. Okay.
Stay loyal.
Mike, what's our what's our actual topic for the day now that we've wasted?
It is October.
It's October. Things are getting spooky.
And it's more than the October baseball. It's more than my birthday month.
It's your birthday this month.
It is my birthday month.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you. Odds on favorite.
Odds on favorite for birthday, Mike Bonner.
And more than Halloween.
I watched Hocus Pocus last night for the first time.
Alyssa's been like...
Hannah was thrilled.
To watch Hocus Pocus, and I'm just like, then just put it on. But
yeah. Someone knocked over a bunch of... a tip... that we at the Advocate received from a local Acushnet resident said someone was kicking over headstones at the cemetery today.
Wow.
It is officially spooky season.
It's also officially marijuana season.
Yes.
In New Bedford.
That's right.
8 minutes in, we finally get there. We took the scenic route, but that's
we
okay.
We quite literally buried the lead. Headstones, get it? Buried the lead. We're all about the puns today. Give us the update. Give us the update on New Bedford's marijuana presence.
We might have to introduce video to our pods because the facial expressions of both of us today have been pretty spot on.
We could do that. The Standard Times shifting to video.
The update is the moratorium on marijuana in New Bedford is lifted. It's no longer.
And that's the show.
No, so where we are with marijuana in New Bedford is, you have this big... The moratorium's gone. Let's go out and we can just, you and I, we're going to open the bubble pot shop and it's going to open up right here. No, not that easy.
Not yet.
It might never be that easy.
Yeah, no,
so
it probably
what we
won't.
Would have to that, do. Yes. So you want to open up a marijuana facility because that was basically what I was asking here.
Better get
that's
the
what we're
pen
talking
out.
About now. Was, okay, the moratorium's lifted and they made such a huge deal out of this moratorium that, hey, we, not ready for it. So when it's lifted, and the zoning is in, you're thinking to yourself, oh, well, then you just open up and you're right. Good. You've got to negotiate with the city first.
Yep.
To get a host agreement.
Right.
And the city doesn't have to do business with you.
No. And the host agreement, for those that don't know, is sort of where, like, tax money comes into play. Right. This is how the cities are going to...
They wouldn't negotiate with you.
Right.
But it's not just like, hey, I want to open an establishment. They're like, okay, great. Come on in. You have to show them your business plan.
Yep.
Is it going to be successful? Who are you hiring? And by that, it's mostly, are you hiring New Bedford residents?
Right.
You know, the marijuana is seen as potentially a really...
job
great
creator.
Way of New Bedford to boost its economy.
It's a big part of economic development in all of the cities that it'll be going into, cities and towns.
States
and
well.
States.
Yeah.
Yep.
So New Bedford, the city wants to know, hey, are you going to try to hire New Bedford residents? Because
right.
that's what we'd like to see. What's the security like at your place? You know, what all these right. things need to go into a host agreement, this huge long thing, and then you do all that. You get Mayor John Mitchell's like, hey, you're awesome.
Right.
Checkmarking all off all this stuff.
Right.
Come do business with us. So that's all great. You get your host agreement, but the city council then has to approve
right.
that host agreement. It might very well go just like that, snap of the finger, and they hear at a city council meeting and you're good. More than likely, they'll probably go to finance committee, and the finance committee or one of their committees will hear it out. Have you come in, interview you, say, hey, what do you think about this? What about that?
Right.
Probably much like what the mayor did, but checks and balances. They want to make sure everything's on the up and up. So you get your host agreement from the mayor or from the city. It's approved by the city council, by the committee, goes back to the city council. They finally approve it. So now you have your host agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to go to the state and the CCC, the Cannabis
Control Commission.
They then say, look at your host agreement. Make sure everything, again, is on the up and up. Everything
yep.
looks good. You're approved. Then you have to go back to the city, and the health department has to inspect.
Yes, which is often the hardest.
What everything.
Yes.
Yeah, what your building is.
Hurdle.
Because
yeah.
at this point, you have to think to yourself, we made it sound actually more a lot easier than it is, because let's say you got your host agreement. Why would you buy property yet? You don't know
exactly.
if the CCC is going to approve you. So then you go to the CCC. Why would you buy property yet? You don't know if
right.
you're going to get approved. So once you finally then are approved by the CCC, then you can start looking into property, because
yep.
that's the next step. However, the Department of Health has to approve your property.
And it's not as if you can just purchase the property and set up shop. There's a build that often goes into these mm-hmm. places. We're talking about security measures, right? So you have to install all of these additional mm-hmm. security measures. Not a short process. I want to say that when I began talking with Bask, the medical facility that opened in Fairhaven, we started our talk somewhere in like October, September of 2017. They had pitched that they were going to be open shortly after Thanksgiving. I don't think they opened till like February or March in 2018. So it takes that's an additional like 5 months possibly that they were just working to get things settled. Now, the difference between Bask is they were growing in their facility. So there's some additional health department mm-hmm. concerns there. Whereas in New Bedford, I don't imagine. I mean, have any licenses even been submitted at this point?
Yes,
do we
I think
know if
so.
People will be growing in New Bedford?
I believe that's the plan.
Okay.
I spoke with Nicholas Gomes. You can read my story. We can link it on there. And he has the plan to cultivate.
Okay.
Within New Bedford. Actually, he was at the Freedom Rally September 15th, and for Concentrate, his mm-hmm. brand or his strain, 1/3.
Okay.
There. So he's a really interesting person from a Acushnet, but family
okay.
grew up in New Bedford. And the way that he said it was, you know, his grandfather helped build the city literally through bricklaying,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to continue that tradition, but through economics and
right.
employing New Bedford people. So I don't see why he wouldn't get approved. My understanding is he has the finances to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then he seemingly has what the city would like to hear in terms of hiring local
sure.
and helping the city. He really sees it as a long, long, long-term goal,
right,
where he's here for the long run because he wants to even see it eventually get to the point where you can use marijuana within, kind of like a bar, like mm-hmm. use it in facilities and
yes.
such, which is not currently allowed.
No. So that portion, the marijuana cafes, it's essentially how the way that cities are referring to it is on-site consumption, which would be like marijuana as
the
bar.
Word, yeah.
And I don't even think the Cannabis Control Commission has yet given their recommendations for that. But you would have to, the people, the voters in the towns or city would have to make a ballot initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to get all of the signatures to put it on the ballot. Then it would have to pass for that to even be an option in towns right now. At least that's how they're doing it in Fairhaven. So I don't even think people are worrying about that part of marijuana.
And yeah. right now in New Bedford, specifically, the city council, which helped draw up a lot of the zoning, how they looked at zoning cannabis
mm-hmm.
was to go more strict at the start
right.
and then be able to loosen it up later, their theory being it's easier to loosen than to tighten those laws after they've already been established.
Right.
Their idea, I think, at some point is very much they're doing that because of how they handled the tattoo parlors.
Okay.
Where tattoo parlors, I guess, at some point were very restricted. They can only be in certain spots.
Right.
And now you look, there's one right almost where I live on Union Street, and
yep.
there's a bar across the street.
Yeah.
It's very much within the fabric of downtown. So
yeah.
if that's how you see it happening, if you take the how tattoo parlors were and how they are now, I think that's what the city council was looking at. If everything goes well and everything seemingly is kosher, then at some point that's maybe where they'll get. And I think that's where this person, Nick Gomes at Old Soul Gardens,
mm-hmm.
That's how he sees it going. But again, that's, as you mentioned, quite far down the road,
yeah.
but I think it's interesting because he's in it for the long run.
Yeah. It's sort of one of those things where the notion of lifting a moratorium to people who are really unfamiliar with the topic, it seems like a really big deal because they're like, oh my God, the moratorium's lifted. We're going to have marijuana in here in a week. Realistically, it's one of those things where, like, for a journalist, you write that the moratorium lifts, and then it's probably like 2.5 months before there's any additional news on that because it's so
yeah.
slow moving that they're, like, people in these towns, once the moratorium lifts, you won't see a storefront begin to open up for probably like 5 to 6 months.
It's good. Yeah. And Nick, Nick Gomes, who I spoke with, he's optimistic 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Everyone's always optimistic.
Yeah, exactly. Me being a reporter and seeing how things go, I think it's more close to 6 months than
yeah.
the three and maybe beyond that, just because I know how it all goes. And he is double applying. And by that, I asked him what he meant by that. He has already applied with the CCC.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as his host agreement, if and when it is approved by the city, the CCC can kind of just look at his application immediately then, rather than him then filing all the paperwork and doing all
right.
that. So, but even with that mindset, he still thinks 3 to 6 months. So that's one of the reasons why I think I like this topic here is because we hear marijuana so often in the state, oh, it's legal and the moratorium's lifted. What does that mean? And I
right.
feel like those big stories that we opened up in the beginning of the show, everyone knows, you know, there's not much to really unravel that isn't already
right.
unraveled. This is, I feel like you said, people, okay, where's the shop? Where's it opening? Not so much.
Right. It's kind of one of those things where at least this happened in Fairhaven, right? So people heard that Bask was going to be opening for however long it opened. And then it finally opens. And the only people who notice it are the people who are using it, right?
Right, right.
Mind you, this is a medical facility, so that number's even smaller because it's only a certain segment of the population that can even enter the facility. So you're talking about something that, realistically, unless it's in some sort of like highly trafficked area, you're going to hear about it. Then you're not going to hear about it for quite some time. And then it'll be open. And if you catch the news that day, you'll probably hear about it. And if you don't, you'll drive by it and be like, oh, that's a new place. Because the frills are so little on these things that it's
interesting. The thing that really took me, and this was my ignorance on the topic as a whole and then covering it, was when you think marijuana, all I thought of, and most everybody thinks of, is smoking marijuana.
Right.
And that's what legal is you're just going to go and then, you know, wrap your joint and then smoke it, and then you're going to have that smell. And then when you're talking to experts in the field, which I have, that's like,
it's like nothing. their last concern, almost.
The 1%, really. The 99% is other aspects that are much cleaner and healthier to digest.
Right.
Or ingest, rather, not digest.
Right. It's a lot of... I had a similar experience as you when talking to people. Similar in a way. Obviously, Basque is focused on growing a little bit as well, but... realistically, when they're talking about their products' interactions with the patients, it's edibles, it's ointments, like topical things, lozenges, different things that help people on a day-to-day that aren't as sort of... stereotypical is not the right word, but it's like a more forward-thinking approach to consuming cannabis than you would think of just like smoking a joint or smoking a blunt or something, you know?
I was totally unaware of it too before, like,
yeah,
researching the topic that, yeah, it was even a thing.
Yeah, it's sort of funny to see an industry that is so new to the area. But if you look at it from like a what's been going on inside of the industry perspective, it's like pretty far advanced for how sort of archaic the means of them being able to function have been with it being illegal, right? So people were clear. There's definitely sort of that like underbelly of people who were doing it and advancing products while it was still illegal, which is really interesting.
And I wonder too how many people voted for it voted for it to become legal without really even knowing the layers to it. Because again, even when it was legalized, I was thinking to myself, and I'm sure my family was too, because I talked about it, just literally smoking a joint.
Right.
Who cares? It's, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Right.
But that's not even, again, that's such a literal tip of the iceberg type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's sort of interesting to see as the moratorium gets closer to that December lift date in Fairhaven, and there's going to be a special town meeting in November where people can sort of vote on like the bylaw, the zoning bylaw for it, which would be how many shops they're going to limit it to, etc. There's like a small segment. Well, I don't even know how big it is, really. You only get to see the segment of people who are like at town at meetings and things like that. But there's a segment of people who are really concerned about, well, I can already smell it and I can already do this. Yeah. And then you sort of get into the perspective of like, well, okay, so like you guys are being affected by what's coming in off the street without understanding that like a lot of the stuff that's going to be coming out of the retail shops are going to be things that are a lot less invasive to your everyday life.
Right.
Here's something I wanted to bring up just because I had seen it floating around. Have you seen sort of these like underground Instagram accounts pop up on your feed at all that are like selling marijuana in New Bedford?
I've seen one. Yeah, that was like, look what we had. It was just kind of like a picture of it, but very discreet, very like...
That's definitely illegal.
Yeah.
Right?
I would, because it's... Yeah. Because technically you can grow it, right? Even with the moratorium,
yes,
you can grow it in your house. You just couldn't purchase it or sell it in recreational.
As far as I know, yeah, like that's.
I'm not even sure. Again, and because there's so many layers. If you were to grow it in your house, could you then sell it?
I don't know the specifics on
that. Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I know there's rules in other states where you can do that. Like essentially. So for that day, you're giving up your grow rights, as they call it, and you're giving it to that person who then grew your plants for the day and gave it to you. But I don't know if that's true in Massachusetts.
It might be, just thinking of beer.
Right.
One of my good friends brews beer.
Okay.
And I can only pay him for supplies.
Oh, you can't pay him for the product itself.
So he's making it for me.
Sure. It's like a roundabout way of saying I'm paying him for this, but I'm not paying him for the product.
For the product, yeah, because I don't have, obviously, the means to do it. Right. So I'm paying him for all those supplies, and then he produces it for me, but I can't pay him anything for the beer itself.
Right. It was just one of those like weird roundabout
ways. So it might be the same thing with...
I don't want to state that as fact because I'm not sure, but I could see that.
Nor am I. Yeah, I'm just kind of using...
Yeah.
Similar type things.
But that was another interesting thing. And maybe we shouldn't, maybe that should be a story rather than just a short segment on a podcast. But it's like interesting to see those little things begin to pop up.
So now we're back to facts, are we? We're going to acknowledge facts and realities and what's real and what's not now at the end of the podcast.
At the end of the podcast.
At the beginning.
Okay. At the end of the podcast, I'm glad we talk about facts at the beginning. It's
real
things
that exist.
Yes.
Maybe we should look into that more, Mike, than just theorizing that an actual human being exists or not.
Who? Emin Marshall?
Marshall Mathers.
Marshall?
Not negative nor positive, just an acknowledgement that this person released
an acknowledgement
this
that an underwhelming rap album came out, yes.
You're the one being negative in adding emotions. I'm just saying.
I'm a critic. I guess.
That's why you don't like it, huh? Because he came after you?
Did he come after me? He
came after critics.
Oh. I don't know. I didn't listen.
Typical critic.
Typical critic. I have
just writing without even knowing.
I did not write about the album. Because, it's just bad. Whatever. I don't want to. I've spent enough of my time on Eminem.
Oh my God.
Shout out to Eminem.
Not a friend of the pod.
Come on the podcast.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
This has been a good. I feel like we spread our
We're
legs.
Back.
We stretched a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, we stretched out.
Anything else on marijuana that you want to. I think we covered it.
Yeah, no, I think we pretty much covered it. Yeah, like we said, there's like no real news that's happening aside from like the moratorium's lifted.
Right, but to me it was like I had people come up to me saying, "What does that mean? Can we go?"
Exact, sure. Right. That's sort of it, right? It's like aside from it being like, "Yeah, it's lifted." It like I don't have that much to tell you cuz like nothing's happening right now.
Yeah, the
And that's sort of how it goes.
Slow churn of government.
Slow burn. Slow burn. Yep.
You are full of puns today.
I try, Mike. I'm trying a new thing since I came back from vacation. Puns. Our vacation this week will not be as long. We will be back next week. We don't know what we're going to do yet. We haven't made it that far. We're still in our vacation hangover, if you will. But yeah, this was good. Thanks for coming back, Mike.
Oh, I like that. Whoa. Thanks for coming back. That's good.
Thanks for coming back. Yeah, hope to have us back.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.